Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. Few would argue that the relationship between the United States and China is important and sometimes fragile. President Obama met in California a few days ago with his counterpart, Xi Jinping. The visit was called a success in spite of many differences between the two nations on economic, security, and environmental issues. Both nations seem to agree on the need to establish a cooperative relationship. Much work still needs to be done. That meeting was important, but so is contact on a much different stage, people to people. A little later, we'll be talking with a Chinese student studying at Webster University about her experience here. And starting tomorrow, the first of two groups of Chinese students will arrive in Missouri to participate in a program designed to foster greater understanding between young people of the two countries. 16 young men arrive tomorrow to attend Missouri Boys State. They will be followed later by 21 young Chinese women who will attend Missouri Girls State at Central Missouri University. It's called the U.S.-China Leadership Exchange and is being organized by Missouri Boys and Girls State and the Midwest U.S.-China Association. I'm Don Marsh. Former Missouri Governor Bob Holden is chairman of the association. It seeks to strengthen economic ties between the Midwest and China. Joining us by phone is Professor Joel Glassman, director of the Center for International Studies and associate professor of political science at the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Governor Holden, nice to see you again. And Joel Glassman, nice to have you with us.
Well, delighted to be with you, Don. And this truly is a historic occasion.
How so?
Well, in the 78-year history of the American Legion Missouri Boys State and Girls State programs, they've never had an exchange like this. So for the first time this year, Missouri Boys State is going to be inviting 16 students from China to come and actually participate, live in the mock cities like all the young men from around Missouri, participate in all the programs from going to the classes to participation in the election process to the sports, having dinner together. It's not just a pass-through and wave across the stage, but it's actually a participation.
Why is that part of it so important?
Well, it's important because it's for our country's interest and also China's interest. Our young people have to get to know each other. You talked about the recent meeting of the President of the United States and the President of China. Well, when the current President of China, President Xi, came back to the United States prior to being selected as President of China, he visited four sites in this country: New York, Washington, D.C., California, and Muscatine, Iowa. And everybody was scratching their head, why would he go to Muscatine, Iowa? Well, come to find out, 27 years ago, as a lowly public official, he'd been sent to Muscatine, Iowa to study agriculture interests, and a family in that community had put him up for three nights. So his first trip back to the United States, he wanted to go back and visit his friends. So this is about building that cultural, educational relationship, because nobody knows who's going to be a president of a company, the CEO of an organization, a mayor, a president of the country. But somebody will be, and so it's important that we build those relationships now.
Doesn't President Xi also have a daughter at Harvard?
Yes, he does.
So he should be pretty familiar with the way things operate in this country.
Well, he probably is, and you're seeing China mature in this process, just as our nation and our culture has been maturing over the last 200 years. And so I look for great things in the future, and I can't say enough about the Boys State and the Girls State program and their commitment to this, the work at the State Department, the work at the American Embassy in China, Beijing Language and Culture University, which is our partner, the Confucius Institute, Webster, the Confucius Institute at the University of Missouri, Emerson, American Airlines, have all been extremely helpful in making all this happen.
And Joel Glassman, let me get your take on the significance of this visit. We'll talk about the presidential get-together a little bit later, but the significance of the visit of these young people.
Well, there's no downside whatsoever, whether you look at it from the Chinese side or from the U.S. side. And in fact, we probably stand to benefit more because China has been much more aggressive about sending their young people abroad, particularly to the United States, for further education and to learn about how our system works and how our economy works and how they can interact effectively and successfully. There are vastly fewer Americans going to China, particularly American students going to China, to learn how their system works and how we can interact with that economy and that society and that political system successfully. So we're the ones who have the deficit. We're the ones who have the shortfall of young Americans learning about China. So I think this is a great opportunity for a group of Missouri youth to interact in an ongoing way with this cohort of young boys and girls from China in an American organized activity.
We tend to stereotype people from that part of the world, do we not?
Well, everybody stereotypes everybody else. But, you know, as with all stereotypes, they're usually rooted or founded on some fundamental truth. So, yes, we do stereotype Chinese people. They stereotype us. But these stereotypes are not without any foundation in fact and experience.
And, Governor, I suppose that's one of the things that you hope a trip like this will change.
Very definitely. I mean, I'm not – I got involved with China as governor of Missouri. I opened Missouri's first trade office in China. I got involved with the Midwest U.S. China Association. And what I found as I traveled to China, the parents there have the same desires and dreams for their children as the parents in our culture. They want their children to do better and be more successful. The problem we have as a culture is for the first time probably in our history, our young people can't follow the path of their parents and grandparents to success because for the first time we truly have a global economy. When I came into college, the professors would say, look to your left, look to your right. Two out of three of you are going to be gone at the end of the first year. Now these young people can look to the left and look to the right and say, these must be our partners in success for the future. And so that's the fundamental difference that we as a culture have to understand and embrace and promote through our educational system, through our cultural exchanges, and through all of our daily business ties.
You know, I had an email this morning from someone who knew that this program was coming and said, yeah, this is great. You know, he said, but these kids are going to be handpicked. There are going to be no dissidents in this crowd. They're just going to be kids who are going to kind of toe the party line, for lack of a better expression.
I think that is one of the misnomers that we have about China. I find that at the individual level, many people in China are very candid about the problems in their culture, just as we need to be candid about the problems in our culture. I mean, we talk about corruption there. They can talk about corruption here. We can talk about government interference there. They can talk about government interference here and how business is related. The key is for these people to get to know each other. When you build relationships and you have a difference of opinion, you figure out a way to solve it peacefully. If you don't have a relationship and you have a difference, then sometimes another course of action is taken.
Professor Glassman, you want to weigh in on that?
Well, I'm sure they will be handpicked, but that doesn't take away from the learning experience or the learning opportunity for the American students. It doesn't take away from them hearing a very different perspective on life and politics and how a society is organized. Nor does it diminish the benefit for these young Chinese future leaders, and they probably are handpicked as future leaders, just as the U.S. participants or the Missouri participants. These are young people who've been identified as future leaders in our society as well. So there's a good opportunity for exchange, and I would worry less about the notion of handpicked and applaud Boy State and Girl State for creating the opportunity for young people in Missouri and young people from China to interact with each other.
Go ahead,
Governor. No, I was going to say, the other thing about this program, we're trying out this year in Missouri, but the goal is to go national with this in the next year or two to really open up all of our states and all of our young people around the United States to students from China. I had a student from China in one of my earlier classes at Webster University, and at the end of the class, she made the comment to the class. She said, Governor, I will not go back to China the same person that came to America. If we truly have what we believe is a great democracy, what better thing can we do than share it and then create that atmosphere of having this discussion?
You've been at this whole issue of U.S.-Chinese relations for some time now. How has it changed during the years that you've been involved?
I think it is becoming more open. I think they're interested in interchanges much more so in the past. They want to learn. And they want to tap into our knowledge base. I mean, to be a parent in China, to be able to send their child to a U.S. university is one of the dreams that very few of them have ever had a chance to achieve. I mean, they look at the American educational system as the best by far in the world, and it's our opportunity to tap into that, get that talent here, and do a better job of keeping that talent in our society after they get their degree.
You know, Professor Glassman, over the years I've talked to a number of people who have lived for periods of time in China, and not to want to contradict what the governor has said, but one of the things they rave about is the education system in China, saying it's so much better than ours.
Well, I'm not sure I would say it's better. I would certainly say it's different. I think Chinese students are more disciplined than American students. I think they are they learn in a much more structured environment. I think they are able to achieve a great deal through rote learning, but they, by their own admission, have done less to stimulate creativity in young Chinese people. And you can see that when the Chinese government itself is wanting to change that, and that's why they're so eager to learn from the United States in the education field. I mean, we know about all of our own problems in education, but when they look at the United States, they see an education system that particularly at the top levels, for example, graduate education in the United States is vastly superior to graduate education in China, precisely because it encourages young people to be creative and innovative. And so I think there's I feel comfortable in saying we both have a lot to learn from each other. So I don't think this is a one-sided deal where we need to learn from them. I don't think we want our young people to engage entirely in rote learning, and I think they want their young people to get some of the benefits of creativity and innovation that are the hallmarks of American higher education.
I'm going to have to take a break now. We'll continue our conversation on U.S.-Chinese relations in general, but more specifically, the impact that two groups of young people from China visiting Missouri and attending Boys and Girls State here over the next couple of weeks, what impact that is likely to have on relations between the two countries. With me in studio is former Governor Bob Holden, chairman of the Midwest U.S.-China Association. Joining us by phone is Joel Glassman, director of the Center for International Studies and associate professor of political science at the University of Missouri, St. Louis. What do you think? What do you think about relations between these two countries? How important are improved U.S.-China ties, do you think? Give us a call to 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. You can send us an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org. We, of course, will take a tweet at STL on air. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again, and welcome back to St. Louis on the Air. Our discussion today is generally talking about U.S.-Chinese relations. The focal point for this discussion, however, is the fact that two groups of young people from China are coming to Missouri over the next week or two, and they're going to be attending Girls and Boys State in central Missouri and learn a little bit about us, and we're going to be learning a little bit about them. Hopefully they'll learn a lot and that we will learn a lot as well. My guest in studio is former Governor Bob Holden, and joining us by phone is Joel Glassman, director of the Center for International Studies at the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Professor Glassman, let me go back to you and just ask, how realistic is it to think that a visit like this is really going to make any kind of a difference?
Well, if you say stand alone, no, it doesn't. That's wildly optimistic, although the governor's reference earlier to President Xi Jinping's visit to Muscatine, Iowa, actually, is that extraordinary event that does play a big role in one leader's life. But I would see this particular event in the context of growing contacts between Chinese people and American people, growing contacts between young Chinese and young Americans. UMSL, where I work, we now have over 300 Chinese students on our campus. We're changing the lives of those 300 students as they learn about American society and American higher education and American values, and they are in turn having a big impact on our 12,500 other students. So I see this Girl State, Boy State event in that larger context of growing ties between two countries who have to learn to live together effectively and successfully. There's no optimistic scenarios about the future that don't include the United States and China working together peacefully and harmoniously.
There are so many things going on now between the two countries that are grabbing headlines. Governor, I'll start with you on this. I just wonder how much these young people would know about issues such as cyber hacking and the human rights issue that we always raise whenever Chinese come to this country. I wonder how much they'll know and whether, you know, there's any potential for making a difference there.
Well, I think they may know more than we may realize because they have the internet. I've found that with young people, if you tell them you can't do something, then they focus on how they're going to get around it and get something done.
Yeah.
I think that's part of it. I think the other thing that makes us so important, there's 950 young men from all over Missouri coming to spend a week in Warrensburg, Missouri, and probably half to two-thirds of them have never met somebody from a foreign country in their life. And so they'll have this opportunity to really spend a full week to get to know somebody. And 450 young women will be doing the same thing. And none of us know where those experiences will lead in the future. But I will tell you that in my recent travels with China over the last 10 years, I've developed some very good relationships in China with people as students, with people in business. And the more those relationships deepen and grow, the better chance we have of creating economic opportunity, which is what this is all about in the Midwest.
I was just going to get to that point because I know this is what this is all about, certainly in your mind and your association's mind. It seems to me, though, that over the last couple of years, and we've talked about this off and on, you and I, over the last few years, that economic cooperation, association between the two countries here in the Midwest is kind of stalled. Is that the case?
Well, I don't think it's stalled. It hasn't moved as fast as I would like. And that's kind of the history of the Midwest in general. I mean, there's a reason why some people refer to us as the flyover region of the United States. But what's interesting is I think that is starting to change. I'm working with people in Washington, D.C. and in China to really start talking to them about the Midwest. And what most people don't realize, if you take the Midwest as a region, we have the fifth most powerful economy in the world. We have 22% of what I am told is going to be the most important natural resource the world will be seeking in the next 15, 20 years, and that's fresh water. We are the connector of the North American continent because of our roads, our rail, our air, and our waterways. So we have the assets. What we've got to do is a better job of marketing that to people around the world and bring them here to see. I was up in Ohio about a month or so ago, met with the mayor in Toledo, and a group of investors from China in the last year and a half have put over $16 million into that community. And the mayor told me that for the first time in a decade, they now have an increase in the population in their city. And I know the mayor of St. Louis, the mayor of Kansas City, and the mayors of these other cities would love to have more people living in their city. And this is one way you do that. By creating economic activity, then people will come.
Well, I use the word stalled because I think back of the cargo hub, the China hub, as it's called, Aerotropolis, as someone named it. The Mamtec situation down in Moberly, which never happened, and there was great promise there. They just kind of fizzled out.
Well, for every one of those stories, there's a parallel success story of an international investment or an international corporation locating in Missouri, including Chinese companies. So, yes, there have been failures, but I think that's a normal part of a dynamic relationship between two countries. Some areas will move more quickly, and that probably will continue to be the coast. Some will move more slowly. That will probably continue to be the Midwest, and there will be successes and failures. But the U.S.-China economic relationship is only deepening. It's not stalled, and any notion that it is, I think, is a mischaracterization of what's really happening at the ground level.
And the fact is too, is when we get people to come and see what the Midwest has to offer, we have a much better chance of them picking the Midwest and staying here because of our lifestyle. I mean, particularly for a Chinese family, they can look at the Midwest and say, that mirrors our lifestyle and what we want for our children better than many other places in the United States. So I think we've got a lot to offer. We've just got to be, I think, more regional in our approach. We've got to look at metropolitan areas as regions, not as individual cities. We really can't look at the state boundaries any longer and say those should really dictate our economic policy, because the world does not follow the state boundary lines in the United States in economic development.
Let's go to the phones. We have a number of people who want to get into this conversation. Let's make that happen. We'll start in Hazelwood with Gary. Gary, thanks for waiting. You are on the air.
Good morning.
Hi.
I teach undergraduate engineers, and in my class last fall of 18 students, half of them were from outside the country. These were kids from Iran, People's Republic, Taiwan, Latin America, Germany, and India. And what I found and have found in the past is that the foreign students are far savvier than I think most of us realize. It is the information age, and these kids are wired. And while they don't understand our culture as well as people who grow up here do, they do understand more than we realize about the U.S. and about world affairs. And I think any time you get students together from other countries and have them work together in teams and learn from each other and understand each other, it's got to be a great thing to do.
Gary, thanks so much for the call. Governor? Yeah.
No, I very much appreciate his words, because I think he's accurate. And there's benefit to our culture just as much as there's benefit to the Chinese culture of this. I mean, to instill in our young people so they can see who the competition is in the future and who they can build a collaborative relationship with in the future. So I look at it as a win-win situation, and when it's a win-win situation, then all can benefit, and I think there's an economic and peaceful path to progress.
And Professor Glassman has already been indicated in this program the fact that the world is wired the way that it is these days. These associations between young people can continue very much into the future through, you know, texting and through Twitter and through Facebook and all the rest of it.
Well, and they become our representatives, whether they're cultural representatives or economic representatives, in the country that they return to, whether it's China or any other country. So international students studying on our campuses is a very, very valuable asset to our entire society, not just while they are present in our classrooms, but after they graduate, leave, and return to their home countries, they become potential business partners for our region.
And Don, let me just add that these students that come from other countries to go to our schools pay a lot more money into our system than the students coming from our own state. So from an economic standpoint, as well as the cultural thing we're talking about, this can be a really very good thing for Missouri and the Midwest.
This is the perfect time to bring in Kristen, who's calling from Imperial, Missouri. Kristen, thanks for being with us. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I kind of have two questions. The first one is, I'm unfamiliar with this school that this is being held at, so I was hoping to get a little bit more information about that. And then the second part of my question is, what kind of things are they going to be focusing on? Is this purely a social thing, or are we going to be showcasing our, you know, world-renowned botanical gardens and zoo and other features that do make the Missouri, St. Louis, just generally Midwest area, kind of a hidden jewel of the United States?
Governor, I think you're the one to answer that.
That's fine. The program is held at the University of Central Missouri at Warrensburg. It's been there, and the program's been in existence for 78 years. They'll be flying into St. Louis through American Airlines. We'll put them on a bus. They will stop off in Columbia for Shakespeare Pizza and at the University of Missouri Confucius Institute, and then on to Kansas City, where they will rest for about a day before we take them to Warrensburg, and then we'll bring them back through Highway 50 and the stop off at the Capitol and then back into St. Louis. And I hope for that they see some things in St. Louis on that leg of the trip.
Sounds like a pretty good trip to me, Professor Glassman.
Well, it sounds like they're covering all the bases. I'm a big fan of these kind of programs. I think everybody stands to gain.
Let's bring in Donna now. She's calling from St. Louis and has been waiting. Donna, go ahead, please.
Thank you so much for taking my call, and I'm glad to hear the other callers as well. Two things, the education and the economic. I'm very fortunate. I have two children who are very fluent in Chinese, one 5 years, the other 3 years. One, the one who has been speaking for 5 years, has spent a semester. And talking about the education, she is now $100,000 in debt, and she'll be coming out a year ahead of time, and that debt will be looking her. I'm wondering how we translate that into an economic opportunity for her. The notion of the trading and the education and the social, all of that is good. She is my child, and that's very important to her and as well as to me. But now we're looking at the economic side of that. How does that translate into a paycheck on the micro level? It seems like we've been talking about the big picture and what we've been doing in order to get those things done. Now, yes, she listened to it. She did it. She has been to China. She's very fluent. She has all that. Now we're after that part of it. What's the next step?
All right, Don, I think we have the idea. Did you say, I just want to clarify, did you say your daughter does speak Chinese?
Yes.
Okay, thanks. Thank you. Let's get a response. It would seem to me that anyone, Governor, who can speak Chinese really can write their own ticket today.
Oh, I think so. I mean, I'm not going to tell you that they're going to become a millionaire tomorrow, but there's companies and corporations from all over the world looking for people to hire that speak more than one language, which is one of the difficulties we have. We're so used to just speaking English and expecting English to be spoke everywhere, even though they teach English in China schools. So the fact that she can speak two or three different languages, I think her skill set is made for this future economy that we're talking about. So keep pursuing it. And, of course, anything that I can do to be helpful, I would be very happy to do so.
And I would love to get your name off the air and make that contact. If I could.
Okay, perhaps okay. The screener can do that right now. Professor Glassman, right. You're certainly not going to disagree with what the governor said.
Well, I certainly wouldn't disagree. I think she's taken the exactly right course. I mean, for the most part, because so many young Chinese people speak English very well, the interaction between the United States and China has largely been carried out by persons of Chinese birth and descent, rather than by persons of U.S. birth and descent. So I think, you know, people like her are a very rare commodity, and I think she will have relatively little difficulty finding some U.S. organization that wants to take advantage of her skills.
Governor, I assume language will be no problem during this visit, that all of the youngsters will be English speaking.
Yeah. That's the reason working with Beijing Language and Culture University, that's their premier university in China, to help with foreign languages.
Professor Glassman, we're talking about the importance of this connection here and any of the connections that we've addressed. I've heard people say and project that this 21st century is going to be China's century, that they are now in the world situation much as we were 100 years ago, which would certainly indicate the importance of having a positive relationship with the Chinese. Do you subscribe to that?
Well, I do in the sense that I think the 21st century will be a Pacific century. I don't think that means it'll be a Chinese century. It means that the United States, China, Japan, Korea, particularly if Korea can resolve its internal political problems, will be the source of technological innovation, economic innovation, and will be the most important region of the world. So, yes, I think the world has shifted from an Atlantic-focused world to a Pacific-focused world, and China is an important part of that. But I wouldn't rule out the role that the United States and Japan and Korea will play in that world as well. You could even add Indonesia as another large and emerging economy in that part of the world. So I'm very optimistic about that region, but the rise of Asian countries doesn't necessarily speak to the decline of the United States. It means we have to share the global platform with these other countries, and that means we need to learn to be a good partner rather than a sole dominant power. But I don't see the United States being left out of the Pacific century.
How do you assess, a quick overview, if you would, how do you assess the just concluded meeting between the two presidents?
Well, I think the most important part of it was that it happened. It means that we are evolving from two countries that, you know, regard each other suspiciously and cautiously to two nations that have developed an understanding that we need to find a way to solve our problems. We need to work together. That U.S.-China harmony is the foundation for a peaceful global society, a peaceful and prosperous global society. So, of course, there are issues that we disagree about. We have issues that we disagree about with every other country in the world. But we discuss those problems, we work them through, we deal with them on an informal basis. We're not all tied in knots on either side about the possibility that we have to give in to you or you have to give in to us. It's about learning how to work together. And I think the relationship is now sufficiently mature that the two sides understand that. And this is, I believe, the first of many, many informal meetings between a U.S. and China president, some taking place in the U.S., some taking place in China, where the two partners work together to cooperatively resolve issues. So I think this is the first of many such meetings. Think back to, you know, Nixon's visit to China. It wasn't that long ago. It was really only 40 years ago. And how awesome an event that was. Well, now it's becoming a routine event. And I think that's a good thing.
We're going to have to end this in just a moment, but Governor Holden, I'll end it with you. What do you hope the takeaway is from both groups of young people as they meet for the rest of this month?
Well, first of all, that they understand and have a better appreciation of the culture and the values of each other, and they take that back to their own country, because of the more of these that we can do, the better chance we have to be in a peaceful partner in this process. I think it'll help open up our culture to understand that the characters that we have sometimes of China and the leadership of China may be correct in some cases, may be incorrect in others, and the same with them, with us. And that we can really start doing this across the United States, because this is the key to the future, because the country that leads the global economy is going to be the one that has the talent. And if we can continue to attract the talent and keep that talent here, and that's mainly through young people, then we will lead the world. But this is we're entering an age where there's not going to be one global power. There's going to be several, all the way from Brazil, all the way to the United States, to China, to Japan, Russia, many others. The key to remaining in influence is to continue to produce a high-quality product from your young people. And so that's what this is all about, is giving our young people a window to this global world that they will be a part of tomorrow.
We're going to have to leave it there. That's former Governor Bob Holden, chairman of the Midwest U.S.-China Association. Professor Glassman, thank you for being with us. We have to end it there. Joel Glassman is director of the Center for International Studies at the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Thank you both, gentlemen, for being with us. Most informative. And Bob Holden, I know you're going to have a good couple of weeks with our new Chinese friends. Thank you so much, sir. Coming up, meet Zoe Wong, a Chinese student who attends Webster University. Get her take on all of this. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.